Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll look at a passage there in just a moment. Some of you might have noticed I have a scar on my head. And somebody already asked me if it was my wife. And I'm going to tell you no, it wasn't my wife. But it's important when you see something like that, don't questions sometimes pop in your head. When my wife was taking martial arts, one time she had an accident, and we had to take her to the emergency room, and they kept asking her questions. And then they wanted her to be, several people came in there and kept asking the same questions. And what they were trying to do is make sure that what she was saying was accurate. You know, that she wasn't afraid of me, the martial arts instructor, doing something to her. And they wanted to be absolutely sure that what had happened was as she described it, you know, taking place in the class. Is it important to be absolutely sure about what you know? Is it important? There was a class going to be taken in a high school, and they wanted to do a pretest. I think you've heard about pretests. And they wanted to find out what these kids knew about the Bible. One of the kids answered one of the questions, Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers. Another one said Jezebel was Ahab's donkey. Ask about the Gospels, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Somebody said that Eve was created from an apple, and that Jesus was baptized by Moses. Now, those are some examples of the knowledge that these high school students had about the Bible. And you can see there the misinformation. What I want to consider this morning is that you can know things that are in the Bible. But just simply knowing what the Bible says, does that make you right with God? You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can be able to quote scripture. I know people like this. They spend time memorizing scripture. And they have these competitions. You know, how many books can you quote from the scripture that you've memorized? You can memorize a lot of scripture and know a lot of scripture, but that does not mean that you properly apply what the scripture says. Is it important to properly apply what the scripture says? There's a little boy, and he was running away from home. And he was going around and around in circles in front of his house. So the policeman came up there and stopped him and asked the little boy what he was doing. He said, he's running away from home. He said, well, why didn't you cross the street? He said, because my mother told me not to. Interesting, isn't it? You're running away from home, but you're still listening to who? Listening to your mother. Now, why did the mother tell the little boy not to cross the street? Because she loves that little boy, doesn't want him to get hurt. God loves each of us, does he not? And God's going to give us instructions that we need to follow. And he wants us to follow those instructions. And again, I want to point out, just simply knowing what the Bible says is not going to make you right with God. You have to apply them properly. Now, the Bible is a very unique book. Is the Bible a science book? No, it's not a science book. But it is scientifically accurate. And I can vouch for that. Is the Bible a geography book? No, but it is accurate whenever it talks about things and geography. Is the Bible historically true? Yes, it is, even though it's not a history book. It is true what is in it. Now, within the Bible itself, we have God's inspired word that has been given to each and every one of us. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. in verse 3, God's inspired word, literally God breathed, given to us. And it says in verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So the Bible tells us we have been given everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And again, it's through the knowledge of him that is his son. Let's turn to 2 Timothy now, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And we quote this passage of scripture often. Again, everything that we need, spiritually speaking, God has given to us. Again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Now, I hope that you underline or highlight that passage of scripture somehow. Because when we point people to this passage of scripture in God's word, and they read this particular passage, immediately they need to make a decision. Is this statement true or is it false? Because if it is true, then God's word is inspired by God. And it gives us these things that are needful to thoroughly equip us to every good work. Now, God's word should be first in our lives. Let's turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 48. His word, the Bible, should be foremost. We should be spending time in it daily. We should know God's word. And as we spoke in class this morning, we need to be able to share it with others so they know about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said this in John 12, verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So we will be judged by the words that Jesus has spoken. And this is important. Now, knowing that these things are true, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Because when we speak and we share the good news of Jesus Christ, we need to be careful about what we share. Recently, I was speaking to a young man, and I was trying to help him learn something. And the example I gave him is this. Have you ever heard of the horn and halo effect? Horn and halo. A business example. And I explained to him, I said, whenever somebody does something wrong, they're given a horn. You know, like a horn, I guess. And I asked the individual, how many times do you think you need to do something good for the person to kind of forget that this happened and put it in the past? Again, the data shows that for every one thing you do wrong, it takes about 10 things you do right before it's in the past. So this particular individual now has to do 20 halos. They got two horns, so they got a lot to do to kind of eradicate the past. Does God remember the things that we do wrong? Does God remember the things we do wrong? He wants to put them away, doesn't he? He wants to forgive us. And there's a way that we can be forgiven. And the forgiveness, biblically speaking, means he doesn't bring it up again. It's put in the past. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4, verse 11, because it's important. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So speaking, we speak as the oracles of God. Now I know that this morning there are some who are sitting here who have not yet obeyed the gospel. They might have the knowledge. They hear it over and over again. They know what the Bible says. But just knowing it is not going to make you right with God. What must you do? You must apply what you hear. You must apply what you hear. So we're going to take a look now. The Bible has been written. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 17. The Bible has written, and we know that what we read is true. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Now this is important, and it's critical that we are very precise in understanding this. I'm bringing this up because my wife is being very precise with me about things when I talk to her right now. Precision, truth. So when we take a look at this passage of scripture, Jesus is telling us that God's word is truth. And that implies that anything else is what? Is false. So we need to know God's word because we know that God's word is true. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1 now. Romans chapter 1. Again, just knowing it does not make us right with God. We have to apply and we have to do what God instructs us to do. In Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 16, look at these words of Paul. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," about the good news of Jesus. And then he tells us why. It is the power of God to salvation. The gospel enables us to have salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So again, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the power of God to salvation. And that is what is needful. And then he says in verse 17, "For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So everything that we do today to be spiritually right with God, we need to do it by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everything we do needs to be based on God's word. Now look at verse 18. "The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." It tells us that there is going to be judgment, that God's wrath will be upon all those who suppress the truth. Now let me ask you, is the truth being suppressed today? Yes, it is. Just saw an article, this individual, some kind of actor, movie star, I don't know. And they had to get their driver's license or something, their passport, one of those things. And on the passport, it had to put male on there. And this individual was upset about it. Why? Because they are transgender. And I get confused. Okay. I looked at the picture, and unless I knew, I mean, the person there looked at like a female. But then you read, no, biologically, the individual is a male. So it's confusing, isn't it? In suppressing the truth. And when discussion is, when somebody says they are transgender male, I get confused. Okay? Which way are they going? And then they want to have operations. Well, why do you need an operation if you're what you claim you are? Why would you have to have an operation to be something else? What does that imply? That you're not what you want to be. It is completely illogical and has no sense whatsoever. But look at that. Who suppress the truth in what? In unrighteousness. Look at verse 19. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Has God revealed the truth to us? Has God illustrated who he is in the things that we can see? Yes, he has. Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Highlight that. They are without excuse. No excuse can be given for denying the existence of God, his handiwork, and his power. No excuse will be acceptable. He continues. Verse 21, he says, why? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's the reason why there is no excuse. They knew God, they did not glorify him, they were not thankful, and they became futile in their thoughts and their imaginations. Do we see a lot of that today? People not thinking correctly, futile in their thoughts. Now the question again is not whether or not what we know. It's important to know. But the question is, with what you know, what you do with it. God wants you to do something with what you know. I know of individuals who say they want to be baptized. And they know the importance of being baptized. But just knowing it's important, is that going to help you? No. You have to what? You have to apply what you know. You have to do it. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. This passage, I think somebody brought it up this morning. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. What is the perfect law of liberty? It's what we have, his word. The perfect law of liberty. You look at it, you read it, you understand it, and then you need to apply it. And continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works. So we can look in the mirror and we can walk away and be forgetful, can't we? Can we do that? I do that now almost every day. Yesterday, I took a pill I'm supposed to take daily, and not 2 minutes later, I forgot whether I took it or not. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
That's frustrating to me. All right, because I don't want to take two of the bill. I just want to take the one. So we can do something and we can forget that we did it. And the same thing applies. When we look at God's word, can we forget? Yes. We need to spend time in God's word. That's the reason. Spend time in God's word. Go over and over and over. So we can remember and we can apply and do God's will, not to be a forgetful hearer. And he says, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we need to apply what God has given us. So when we hear something and it pricks our conscience, does everything ever prick your conscience? I hope so. All right? I hope so. Because the word of God, when we hear it, when you hear a lesson from God's word, who is it directed to? It's directed to me and to you. And it's coming from God's word. God is speaking to you. And he wants your conscience to be pricked if you're doing what? If you're being disobedient and a forgetful hearer, not doing as God instructs. He wants you to make that change. Let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. In verse 17. It is important to be doers of the word. Again, having all the knowledge, you can know that Bible inside out. But that's not going to make you right with God. It's doing His word, applying it properly. That will make you right with God. In James chapter 2 and verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Is working, is doing the things God wants you to do. Is it important? Yes, it is. Look at verse 20. But do you not want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And then verse 26. For as the body without the spirit dead, so faith without works is dead also. There are many people who do not like these passages of Scripture. They don't like it at all. And again, it gets to, they know a lot about what the Bible says, but they're not properly applying it. And that's so important. Just knowing something isn't going to hack it. You must apply what you know. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, because Jesus said it very clearly. You better apply what you know. You might know that I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this, because God's word says it. But if you neglect to do it, whose fault is it going to be? Mark Twain. Anybody know Mark Twain? I've heard the name Mark Twain somewhere. Anyway, he was asked about something. He says, a lot of people have questions or are confused about passages of Scripture that they don't understand. We can't bring them up this morning. Don't understand it. It puzzles us. And he says, I'm not so concerned about the ones I don't understand. I'm more concerned about the ones I do understand. You get the point? He's more concerned about the ones he does understand that he's not doing. So if we know there's something that God's word tells us we should do, should we do it? Yes. And not put it off. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says it this way, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of my Father. What's he telling us? You can claim God as your Lord. You can claim God as your Lord. I'll say, you can claim God as your Lord, but if you're not doing His will, you're not in a good relationship with Him. You're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So again, a lot of people don't lack information. I know that because I know people, they've heard the gospel many times. They've heard the message being preached. They know what the Bible says. But guess what? They don't do it. So it's like saying, Lord, Lord, but what? Not doing His will. And that is so important. We have to do His will. Again, we will be separated from God if we do not do His will. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Because many people have heard God's word in different ways through time. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning of verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Please note, different ways God has spoken to us. And again, we need to be in God's word. Right now I'm going through the Old Testament again, and I've mentioned this before, I'm amazed, and I've read the Old Testament several times, I'm amazed at how every time I read it, I discover something new. You know, something I read and I somehow didn't see that before. Does God want us to stay in His word? Yes. Time and time again. We need to know God's word. So He spoke to us in various ways in times past, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He has made all the world. Now we can see how different people respond to God's word. Let's turn to the book of Exodus. chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. One in verse 14. Now here Moses comes and he speaks directly to Pharaoh. Let my people what? Let my people go. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 14, so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. People are going to respond differently when they hear God's word. Is that a true statement? Yes. Pharaoh heard it. Pharaoh saw the demonstration of God's power by the different plagues. But did he respond the way God wanted him to? No. People can hear God's word, they can read God's word, they can have all the information, but their heart can be hardened. They don't respond and reply. There are others who know the truth, but they refuse to obey it. Let's turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 42. To know it, but refuse to obey it. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. They believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Can we be guilty of that today? Loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. Refusing to do what? They did not confess him, because they loved the praise of men. They love the praise of men. Another example, let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. Knowing exactly what God wants you to do. And there might be somebody here this morning, you know what the Bible says. You know what God's word says. God's word is true. Here's King Agrippa. Verse 27. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become what? A Christian. You almost persuade me. Isn't there a song like that? Almost persuaded. Almost does not hack it, does it? Almost is not it. So this king is listening to Paul. And he's telling him about these things. He says, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Now think about that. Do we want our loved ones, our family, our friends we come in contact with to be Christians? Yes, we do. Can anybody force somebody to be a Christian? No. That's a decision we all have to make for ourselves. And God wants you to make that decision. God wants you to be obedient to him. Now the point is that God did not leave these individuals ignorant of the truth. They knew what the truth was. The rulers, again, they believed him, but they didn't confess him. Why? They didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. King Agrippa, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Doesn't say why he didn't do it. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Can that happen today? Yes, it can. Now, here's the important thing, and this is a key. They were not condemned for what they knew. They knew the truth. They were not condemned for what they knew. They were condemned for what? What they refused to do. They were condemned for what they refused to do. They did not properly apply what they knew. And that's so important for each of us here today. So it's not so much a matter of information, but it's a matter of making sure that we apply what we hear. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll make a final plea here before we end. And listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. The Bible tells us elsewhere that God is love. Now, in John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. Again, just knowing is not going to suffice. You must apply what you know. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Again, the message is now yours this morning. Again, I beg of you, spend time in God's Word. Know God's Word. But what's far more important than knowing it? Do it. Do it. Another little boy, he was at home, his grandfather was watching him. It was time for the boy to take a shower. He says, you want to take a shower upstairs or downstairs? He says, Mama said, I'm not allowed to take my shower upstairs. So we better do what my mama says and we better take it downstairs. Did that boy have the right attitude? Yeah, he wanted to do what his mother told him to do. Do we need to do what our God tells us to do? Yes, we do. We need to have that right kind of attitude. So if you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, you know what the Bible says about obeying the gospel. Knowing it is not enough. You need to do it. So we ask you to please consider that. If you hear you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of God.